Tell you what, we did that a couple of meetings ago, so we're just going to work the amendment. What do you think? Everybody's all right? But if anybody has questions, they can come forward. And so, get an amendment. So, Senator Barr, do you want to move?
Where are we starting?
At the top. Oh, I think I just left this
45.
Right. And also, if anyone is testifying today, and for senators, they'd ask us to speak right into the mic because so everyone can hear.
Well, perhaps Megan will introduce the amendment so we know what they are.
No, I was doing this one.
Okay, different one.
Do you have it?
When are you going to do that?
Well, we'll go to session and then I'll come back. And I'm going to be here. And we'll meet again at 1 or 2.
I'm out of here at 2.
Well, right, then. Hopefully, we'll just come back at 11 or something.
All right, let's go over this one.
Okay, but this one we don't need. That one we don't need.
We do need this new conceptual one. Do we get copies of this?
What is it?
No, this is the replacement.
This is the one Joan just brought. We need.
Okay, conceptual.
Well, no, start at the top.
It says 205. It's 350. Conceptual amendment. Okay, start at the top and then.
Everybody
have a copy of this. Okay. All right. Okay. Megan, would you tell us what the C-45 amendment?
C-45. The Dash 45 amendments. There's a couple technical things. It separates in the bill. It lists the forests that are under the forest account, and separates the Wallawa and Whitman into two subforests that are managed as one forest but are seen on the federal level as two forests. And Bill Pinhall can answer any questions along the Senate lines. And it also specifies that the high growth counties that do collect the additional registration fee collected by ODOT will be allocated to the county which the fee was collected in.
Okay.
Is that fine, Chair?
Mm-hmm.
That second part is that, I guess that's consistent with the recent draft that we just came up with.
So that if they collected extra in Lane County would receive it instead of the Deschutes. Because their county commissioners can vote to raise the county registration.
The Dash 45 specifies the high growth counties. So as I understand the C-5, although I don't have them yet, just deal with any county. So I believe my understanding with Joan Robinson is that would work. But she can specify.
Joan Robinson.
Clarify that. Joan Robinson. I think that amendment would be unnecessary if you adopt the CO5 rough draft that's floating around, but because that changes the way that county registration fees are imposed. But I would be happy to determine whether it's necessary to put it in if you adopt it, if it's necessary.
If it's not necessary, let's go to the one that you just... Uh-huh. Okay. Bill Pinhall, would you like to speak to this? And have you seen the new conceptual rough draft?
What's the significance of the cut of the forest?
For the record, Bill Pinhall, representing the Association of Oregon County. The C-45, as Megan has described, deal with the safety net and making sure that the Wallowa Forest and the Whitman Forest are separately identified. The second part of that was additional language that was developed by the for the high growth counties to make sure that the make certain that the high growth registration fee that is collected in each of those three counties goes back to the county in which it was imposed. And I'm not sure whether that's covered in the latest draft or not. I don't believe that it is.
Is it possible that we just need lines 1 and 2 of C-45?
I think you need 3 and 4 as well, but I would... I have not had a chance, Madam Chair, to review the latest draft on the high growth counties, and that's why I asked Dennis to.
Madam Chairman,
yes.
Could we adopt the -45 with the understanding that Joan will correct it if it's not needed?
It goes okay in the new amendment.
It does work?
It works in the new amendment. Yeah, I don't know whether it's. It works in the new amendment. I don't know whether it's necessary, but I don't think it's harmful.
Okay,
so I'm not safe to adopt it.
Okay.
Yes. Bill, will you tell us why do we need to separate it into two forests?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, it's kind of a unique situation. There are two forests in northeastern Oregon. One's called the Wallowa National Forest. The other one's called the Whitman National Forest. They happen to be jointly administered by the U.S. Forest Service, so generally we see it referenced as Wallowa-Whitman Forest. However, the revenue distribution that comes out from the Federal Forest Service to the state of Oregon that is then allocated out to the counties identifies those as separate forests and separate acreages. So just to be certain that we don't create some confusion with those two forests, we felt it would be better if we separated those and referenced each of those forests separately.
Mm-hmm. Follow-up question.
Yes.
Mm-hmm. So Bill, is 50% of those money goes into county roads? Is the distribution 50%?
Madam Chair, Senator Yee, in this case, it's 75% goes to the roads, to the county road fund, and 25% goes to the county school fund, with some exceptions.
Thank you.
Okay.
Thank you.
Okay, now, you had an amendment on the floor.
That was the -45 amendment.
Okay.
I move we adopt.
Okay. Is there any more discussion? Okay, without objection. Is there any objection? Okay, go ahead. And then
one down.
Okay.
We have the -46 amendment before us that changes the weight mile tax rate table and truck registration flat fees. And my understanding this is based on the cost of truck facility study.
Okay. The one thing I wanted to say about this is that when we decided to do this at the beginning, in the interim, in the beginning of the session, we had four goals. One was that we maintain cost responsibility between heavy vehicles and light vehicles. One that is that the trust fund money going into it remain revenue neutral, that it not go down as a result of the switch, and that there not be a major shift between classes of trust. And the man that administers this program at ODOT told us Saturday that there would not be, his words, a significant shift between classes of trucks. And our fourth goal was that this would be able, we would be able to maintain revenue neutrality, sustain it into the future. And at first we thought 4 years, then there was pressure that it would not work after 4 years, so we had the accountants figured out legislative revenue and ODOT, and it's now projected to be revenue neutral and sustainable for the next 6 years. So with that in mind, I really support these amendments, and we've met all of our goals. Yes.
I'm sure. If we might ask Paul Warner, I think the adjustment is explained.
Yes, Paul Warner, would you come and Dick, do you want to come up here and explain?
Madam Chair, do we have a tax table before us in Great Mile tax rate table?
We did. The dash 46.
That's what we're looking for. Madam Chair, if I might.
Yes, she wanted to see the table. So go ahead,
Senator Lee. Paul, I get the question. This is just to adjust the weight mile tables that came out of in essence, adjusted the tables that they came out of the cost responsibility study to make them whole with the new distribution scheme.
Madam Chair, Senator Beyer, Paul Warner, Legislative Revenue Office. These tables were the ones that came out of the revenue analysis to generate revenue to meet the chair's charge on cost responsibility. We talked about the other day, what we did was establish the amount of revenue that was needed to match the 2082 equivalent to 5-cent increase, and then use the proportion out of the new cost allocation study to generate that revenue. We had an estimate on the diesel fuel tax of 29 cents, and then these registration fees were basically what we used to balance the two to achieve the revenue neutrality.
So just to be clear on the record then, the switch from LRO's analysis will maintain revenue neutrality and closely approximate cost responsibility as we had it under late now?
Sir Byer, the registration tables that we established had a two-step increase in them because there was a surplus amount of revenue generated in the first year due to the timing of the registration fee increase. So there is an increase the year 2000, which is half a year, and then there's another increase in the year 2002. The second increase generates the long-term revenue neutrality in our analysis that was the chair's fourth charge to establish the revenue neutrality long term. In terms of the cost responsibility, what Dick did in his analysis was to determine the proportion that heavy vehicles needed to generate. So that ensured the cost responsibility between heavy and light vehicles. We did not adjust these fees in a way to try to establish detailed cost responsibility by a weight class. We basically, my understanding of the registration fee structure that was developed by the Oregon Trucking Association was really built on the previous model, and they were proportioned up, and we worked within that structure to achieve cost responsibility between the two large groups.
Well, we had the discussions earlier when we were doing public testimony that this is obviously a much blunter tool in cost responsibility than weight mile would have been, but I think the discussions, you know, I just want to check if your professional opinion is similar to what I thought I heard, that's that on average, most of the truckers under this system will be paying about the same as they paid under the weight mile system.
They will be in terms of there are several things involved here, Senator. One is we have a new cost allocation study.
Right. Well, I meant as if the new cost allocation study was put in place.
Well, and we had some testimony on Saturday that there are some fairly significant changes in the new cost allocation study that suggested that the shape of the cost responsibility ratios were U-shaped, with the lighter vehicles tending to pay more than the cost, or needing to have an increase in their fees to pay the amount equal to cost responsibility. The bulk of the trucks in the weight classes, particularly in the 78,000 to 80,000 pound weight class, tended to be overpaying by the new result, where the very heavy tended to be underpaying. So you had underpaying at the two ends of the tail and then overpaying in the middle. So you'd have to make an adjustment in the current ODOT fee structure in order to achieve the cost allocation study on the rate model process. This proposal doesn't really try to do that. As I say, it's really proportioned up from the existing cost allocation, from the existing rate model structure. So it's built around that existing rate model structure rather than putting in a new cost allocation result among the rate model class. It does, however, tie to the new cost allocation study according to the light and heavy vehicle rate class, the two lines rate class.
I just want to repeat that's what I heard. The new cost allocation study kind of found two things. One, that trucks were overpaying heavy vehicles, and that's what we took care of yesterday, is that in case this doesn't go through, the registration on cars go up about $10. That was $8.81, I think. And number two, before, like you said, the heavier out-of-state were paying lower, and in-state heavy trucks, like concrete cement trucks and the heavy trucks, were underpaying. And the new one is leveling that out. Isn't that what you just said, basically? The new study recommended this.
Yes. Madam Chair, the new study suggested that there needed to be some adjustments. If you were to continue the weight mile system, it suggests that there should be higher rates for the lighter vehicles and for the very heavy vehicles, with lower rates for those in the middle. That's if you were to
implement the new study under a weight mile
at the detail level.
Right. And either way, the heavier in-states would have received a higher responsibility if we were doing true cost responsibility.
Madam Chair, I'm a little hesitant to say in-state versus out-of-state. Those in that 70,000 to 80,000 pound class, if you have the largest group of trucks, would be paying less than the cost allocation study. Yeah.
Oh, if we implemented the new one.
If you implemented the new one.
That's what I meant.
Yeah.
Because but most of the out-of-state ones are the 80,000 pounds, right?
Well, those are the ones who tend to travel interstate, yes.
That's what I meant.
There are some of those who are in-state as well.
Right. But what I'm trying to make real clear is that there needed to be an adjustment anyway if we were going to implement the new cost responsibility study.
That's correct, Madam Chair. And, of course, those adjustments from the cost allocation study are just recommendations that the legislature has to act on.
Right. I mean, it'll be acted on the recommendations. Okay. Any more questions?
No. I want to see if I heard this right. Essentially, you're going proportional and not changing it. We're continuing the past practice of the lighter vehicles paying less than their proportional share?
Senator Beyer, there is not in this proposal a detailed effort to adjust to the new cost allocation study by those 2,000-pound weight class. That is not contained in the study.
So the byproduct of that is that they will, since we, at least our last cost responsibility study, suggested that they were underpaying.
Yes. Well, I also will point out, Senator Byron, I'm sure that we did supply a detailed equity ratios for the weight classes, the material that did provide you last Friday, I believe.
Mm-hmm.
And that shows you where the relative ratios are, and will give you a sense of the very detailed sense of how those compare with cost responsibility by weight class. I think you have that in the packet from Friday. Mm-hmm.
So in the past, the lightweight were underpaying the lighter weight ones?
Yes, according to the cost allocation study, yes, that's correct.
That's really important because some people are saying that this new one is going to cost the lighter trucks more, and if we would have implemented the new our bill, but if we would have implemented the recommendations from that study, it would have cost them more also.
Not sure that's correct. To meet the detailed cost responsibility, there would have been an adjustment in fees. One thing to keep in mind, too, about the cost allocation study and the recommendation from the consultant is they're also tied to number of axles as well as weight. So there is some built-in axle incentive in those tables. That means that even the lighter vehicles, by using more axles, could wind up with actual lower fees.
That makes sense to me now, why some lightweight, because I couldn't understand why they didn't want to come on board. Okay, okay, then that was, you already moved that one, didn't you?
No.
Okay, I moved the Dash 46 amendment. Is there any? Well, I'll do them individually.
Madam Chair.
Yes.
The table we see before us is the new adjusted rate, correct?
Yes, mm-hmm. Right.
Mm-hmm. That would bring the lightweight trucks more,
yes,
and lower the heavier, right. Heavier.
Mm-hmm. Now, it keeps it proportional to what you just said.
What?
It keeps it, I believe.
Well, right. Now I understand why they said, the people trying to write this, that the first time the report came back, that it would have been way too much of an increase for the lightweight trucks. So they put some of that burden on the heavier trucks. So the heavier trucks still are carrying some of the proportion for the lightweight trucks. Okay.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
Mm-hmm. Right.
Yeah. Huh?
All right. Senator Beyer, the proportionality would exist if you didn't have the special, if you didn't exempt some vehicles from the variable fee. Basically, the fixed fee that everyone pays is about twice existing fees. Then the variable fee is a factor, 9 or 5 or whatever it is, of existing laws. So the two together give you a factor of some sort, a multiple of current registration fees. But if you're a cement truck or sand and gravel truck, you don't pay that variable fee. You pay what I called an in lieu variable fee. It's about, it's something less than the full variable fee. Garbage trucks, again, pay about half of that. Low mileage trucks pay only the fixed fee. And investor-owned utility vehicles, vehicles associated with waterworks construction, again, they pay different fees. So to a certain extent, you have a multiple relationship with existing, but it's also modified to the extent that certain types of vehicles are given special fees, which doesn't exist in our current law.
Mm-hmm. Those, Madam Chair, of course, were some of the key assumptions we made in trying to get at the estimated revenue from those groups to achieve the revenue economy.
So I thought investor-owned utilities had a break in the current system.
Madam Chair, they have a break in the sense that they pay tax on the miles that they actually travel on the road.
Mm-hmm.
So a lot of the time that's spent operating the vehicle but not on the road, they don't have to pay tax. So in a sense, that's a break. But there's no break in the sense that they pay a lower weight mile tax rate or that they're exempt to certain miles. It's just that that's the way the weight model works.
Right. So, okay. Do you want to speak, Senator? I mean, Representative. Okay. Okay. Yes. Yeah. Maybe he'll come from. Okay. Any other questions?
I think it's important to be clear, though. I think the balance that makers of the proposal were trying to do with some of those power takeoff units was to recognize the weight mile was more precise than impact because you're only measuring miles traveled on the road.
Right.
But when you move it to a fuel tax, a diesel tax, that fuel is used and that tax is paid even though they're not doing any damage to the road. If they're sitting there running their cement units or using the cherry pickers or utility trucks, they have to do that. You're burning the diesel when you're paying the tax, but you're not doing damage to the road. So I think that was the intent of the adjustment. Mm-hmm. Whether they're the right adjustments or not.
It seemed to make sense to the work group, so. Okay. Thank you. All right.
Sausage.
Okay. Then, is there any objections to the Dash 46 amendment? Okay. Adopted. We need to talk about dash 50 because it goes along with the dash 46.
Exactly.
And Joan Robinson, would you explain that to us?
Madam Chair, the dash 50 amendment changed the dates in the bill if the act is referred by petition. I'm sure you've all heard rumors. I mean, I've read rumors in the newspaper that if 2082 passes, it will be referred under the provision of the Constitution that allows the people to refer an act of the legislature. There is a bill floating around that would make the referral be to the May primary election. Generally, in the Constitution, if the legislature doesn't provide otherwise, a referral by the people would go to the next general election, which would be November of next year. So, assuming that the bill, so if the bill is referred and assuming the bill passes that makes that referral to the May primary, then the dash 50 amendment would change the date in the bill so that the bill would essentially be phased in the same way that it's phased in now, but the date would be different. So that it would start, right now, as you know, the first 2 cents of the gas tax is slated to start on November the 1st, which will work if you all get out of here pretty soon. This would change that so that it would become, so that that first 2 cents would become operative on July 1st, 2000, and then the rest of it just follows along. The next 3 cents of the gas tax under the bill goes into effect January 1st, so this would go into effect 2 months after July 1st. If it's something that's voted on in the May primary, if it's passed, it takes effect 30 days after, which would be June 16th. So I just put it to July 1st because that's a convenient date for something to start. So then the dates ripple through the bill, and I've changed all the dates. And what I would like, if you're going to adopt this amendment, is that you adopt it in concept so that if you later adopt other amendments that have dates in them, I could add those to this so it'll work. It's kind of a nightmare. If the legislature doesn't specify what happens with the dates in this case, we have been unable to find a situation where a bill with phased-in dates was referred to the people, and so we don't know what a court would say. We're trying to avoid chaos.
In essence, Joan, it just slides it back six months,
right.
I think it is. If it's put on the ballot, it slides the dates back.
8 months, actually. 8 months.
Eight months. Okay.
So,
and then some of the dates wouldn't work exactly with 8 months because, for example, reporting to the e-board, we need to make the ODOT report to the e-board prior to release of the bond has pushed us into, I think that one was one where it's more than 8 months.
Okay. Madam Chair?
Yes.
I would move that the C50 amendments be adopted conceptually with one change as drafted, and that would be on page 2, line 4, the date be adjusted to September 1,
2001.
Okay. And page 4. And then doesn't your motion include that if she finds other dates that...
That was the conceptual part.
Okay. I was
sidetracked. I'm sorry, will you repeat the dates again, please?
Page 2, line 4, corrects the typo on the year to 2001.
September 1,
1989, I think.
89? It didn't say. I thought Jones said from November to, from November to July.
That's for the first 2 cents, Senator Yee. Sections of the 1999 Act that would have become operative on November 1st, 1999. That's the first 2 cent increase in the gas tax, and the provision that distributes that first 2 cents shall become operative on July 1st, 2000. Sections that would have become operative on January 1st, 2000, which is the next 3 cents increase in the gas tax plus the adjustments, the 6 month adjustments to the weight mile tax, become operative on September 1st, 2000. And then in section 112, which is the second section in this set of amendments, I'm adjusting specific dates there internal dates in specific sections of the bill. And that's where I made the typo. So it's really chaotic if January 1st, 2001 references became references to September 1st, 1999. People will be calling me up and saying, what did you do?
Is there any more discussion?
I'm fine.
Okay. Without objection, dash 50 conceptual amendments are adopted. We're as amended. Okay. I wanted to say one more thing when we were just talking about all these trucks. And my challenge has been, if anyone knows a truck that's being hurt a lot, a trucking company, by this change, that I'd like to talk to them, because it's not our intention to make truckers' life worse, but better, and still maintain cost responsibility. And yesterday I received a call from a helicopter company that thought that they were being hurt by this. And then, so then I went to the people that proposed this bill and said, all right, what's the situation? And come to find out, this helicopter, all their concerns had been met in the last amendments in the House. So I say this to the media, and if someone raises a big concern, would you please check out the facts and see if their concerns have been met? Because we have tried and tried to work with everybody this will affect. And when misinformation gets out there, then it's hard sometimes to overcome it. So I just say, make sure that you check to see if what they're saying is accurate with the latest version of the bill. Okay, now, shall we go to, are we doing the dash 47? I lost my script. Okay, no, I don't want to do that one. Okay, how about the dash 48? What? I lost one.
What's next? What's next? 48. Okay. The Dash 48 amendment, in the last section of the bill, section 110, has a repeal clause meant that if SDR 44 is not approved or does not pass, that it would repeal this whole bill. And so that, the Dash 48 has removed that language.
It removes it.
It removes the language that would say SJR 44 for the pass, it would be repealed. So,
and SJR 44 is the one that maintains cost responsibility. We still want that.
Correct. The fact that, but this also puts in the language that says that it requires the revenues from taxes on motor vehicles used in fuel be generated in a way that ensures the share of revenues paid for the use of light vehicles and those of heavy vehicles in fair and proportionate to the cost incurred for the highway system because of each class. It requires the legislature to provide the review and adjustments if necessary, which provides the SJR 44 language.
It takes out the trigger.
And it mirrors the constitutional language in 44, right?
Mm-hmm. So,
you need to add the word state, John Hayes says, in front of revenue on line 3.
Do you want to clarify some issues on 48 that you've brought up, John?
Madam Chair, in the, I understand that the committee yesterday amended SJR 44 to add the word state in front of the word revenues, and the language proposed here is almost identical to that, to the language proposed for SJR 44. The difference is only because, or only because SJR 44 is an amendment to the Constitution and this isn't, so it includes it. I believe that an ambiguity is created if you just put the word state in front of revenues, and I think it would be less ambiguous to say that revenues described in Section 3A, Subsection 1 of Article 9 of the Oregon Constitution, new language, that are generated by taxes or excises imposed by the state, shall be generated in a manner that ensures, and so on. And the issue that people are trying to address by putting in the word state is what counts for purposes of cost responsibility. Currently, there are locally imposed gas taxes, and they are not, the counties that impose gas taxes or cities that impose gas taxes are not required to impose cost responsible taxes on other vehicles, and nobody wants that to happen. So SDR 44 and this language ought to be amended to clarify that, but if you just say state revenues, it seems to me at least it's open to be interpreted one of two ways. One, revenues that are generated by taxes imposed by the state, which I believe is what we want. And the other, but the other way it could be interpreted is that revenues that are given to the state from those taxes, and that would be whatever the split is that you arrive at in this bill, that would change cost responsibility a lot. Because now cost responsibility is based on essentially all the revenues that are generated by those, by state-imposed taxes, which I believe is what you want to maintain. The issue for the counties was that they don't want the county, they didn't want county registration fees to be seen to be imposed by the counties. They wanted it to be seen to be imposed by the state, but I believe that issue has been resolved in the rough draft amendments that are running around. So my suggestion would be that instead of saying state revenues, it insert this language that are generated by taxes or excise imposed by the state.
Where would you do that, Jim?
That makes sense.
On line four, before the comma.
At the Constitution?
Yes.
Revenues that are?
That are generated by taxes or excises imposed by the state. Taxes or excises is what's described in Subsection 1 of Section 3A of Article 9 of the Constitution.
That are generated by the state.
By taxes or excises.
Okay, taxes or excises. Then what? Say it one more time. You can have it. Oh, there you have it.
After Constitution, insert that are generated by taxes or excises imposed by the state.
Okay, got it. And that maintains the concept that we have already.
Yes.
And do cities and counties? Someone needs to come and tell us.
I'm going
to
shake the floor apart here. This time, yeah.
How's your comfort level?
Madam Chair, for the record, Bill Penhollow representing the Association of Oregon Counties. We agree with the concept of what Ms. Robinson is trying to do here. I think, however, this captures, gets away from the city-county raised gas taxes, but may capture the high-growth county.
Well, Bill, there's an amendment running around to change the way the high-growth fee is done. And that, I mean, you're right, that was the problem. That the problem that was presented this morning was that it appeared that in the bill, the counties wanted that money, that high-growth fee, to be considered to be imposed by the state, and in the Constitution, they wanted it to be considered to be imposed by the counties. And I don't believe there's a way to do that. So, John, I guess they haven't seen the amendment. I don't know what to do.
I gave Bill the rough draft of the bill.
Going to come back to it? Okay, let's come back to it. Did anybody make the motion? Or did you just talk about it?
Okay. Move on to the next one and give them a chance to
look. Yeah, we'll return to it. Okay.
Okay.
The Dash 49.
The Dash 49 amendment simply just cleans up a little bit of language. On page 57, it talks about cost allocation study in one paragraph, and the next paragraph talks about cost responsibility study. Just to make the language consistent, we deleted the word allocation and inserted responsibility because it is referring to the same thing.
Okay. Are there any concerns or questions on the Dash 48?
49.
Oh, we went to 49. I'm sorry. Okay, then I move the Dash 49 amendment. Is there any objection? Okay. Hearing none, so ordered. Now we'll go back to the Dash 48. Does everyone seem to be in agreement here? Yeah, come on. Do you want to say it? Or Dave? Yeah.
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is David Barenberg from League of Oregon Cities. On behalf of the cities and my county colleague, We think that the language that proposed by council solves our problem, and thank you very much, and thank council for their efforts.
Okay. Do you want to move on?
I'm going to try.
Okay.
Madam Chair, I would move the Dash 48 amendments with this conceptual change, and that's after, on line 4, after the comma, constitution comma, add the language that are generated by taxes or excises imposed by the state.
Okay, is there any discussion, questions?
Right.
Okay, without objection. Okay. Do you need to?
I don't know.
Okay. 54?
I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Now we're going to discuss the Dash 56 Amendment. Megan, do you want to describe
it? The Dash 56 Amendment requires the Department of Administrative Services to conduct a cost responsibility study for submission to the legislature to determine the proportionate share that each class of road users should pay. It's just specifics about the reports that they include recommended adjustments to maintain cost responsibility. It requires the recovery of underpayment by heavy vehicles or credit for overpayment. And requires the legislature to enact adjustments to the fees or allows the governor to do so if they don't ask by a certain date.
Okay. Which one are we talking about?
This is the Dash 56. This was the Dash 40 and took out three words, or two words. And then the Dash 56.
And then
the
do you want to add anything?
Amendment.
For 56.
Well, I'll find them first.
Ms. Robinson, do you want to add anything that we might be concerned about? That we missed?
Well, I think that I don't know. I haven't been at prior work sessions. I don't know whether you discussed the Dash 40 amendment. This is identical to the Dash 40, except that one word was deleted, and it's an important, I mean, it's an important word from a policy point of view. On page 2, line 2, in the Dash 40 amendments, it says Legislative Assembly has not enacted such adjustments by June 1st. In the Dash 56, the word such is not there, so that the Dash 56 amendments would allow the Legislative Assembly to enact adjustments that aren't necessarily the adjustments that appear to be required by the cost responsibility study. So that's the policy choice of how much flexibility the legislature will have in responding to the cost responsibility study. That's the effect of taking out the word such.
Well, I'm happy with I'm fine with that. Do you want to move it to the right time?
I think so.
Okay. Senator Hartung moves the Dash 56 amendment. Is there more discussion? Without objection.
So ordered.
Okay. Okay, what's the next one we're going
to
do?
Okay, we have the C5.
Okay, the C5. Our next.
That's what we had. It's the rough draft that deals with the additional fee registration fee in counties that was previously for high-growth counties.
Mm-hmm.
It allows any county to impose an additional $10 per a year, and it requires an affirmative vote of the majority of commissioners of county to do that.
Where does it say that?
On line 5.
Okay. Because we wanted it to be a public vote if they choose to do it. So is something else deleted then where it says just three of them can send in a letter?
Yeah, it deleted the 11% aggregate population growth.
Okay. Yes.
I would like to suggest also in discussion with Bill Penhollow, there is another statute that should be not listed at the beginning, notwithstanding ORS 801.041, should also add 203.055.
203.055. So, notwithstanding ORS, the first one, or
ORS. Comma, 203.055, or the county charter.
203.055.
Right. And if this amendment is adopted in concept, so in case, as you may know, this amendment came off my computer in about 10 minutes and has not gone through our copy editors. I could have left words out, and you know, it might be, I don't think it's a total disaster, but I prefer it be adopted in concept, and then the county people are going to do some research, and if there's any other statutes. The reason we're not withstanding statutes is that these two statutes require that certain taxes imposed by counties be imposed only by a vote of the people. And this amendment says that county commissioners can impose these registration fees by their own vote. So you have to not withstand the statute. We wouldn't want to miss the statute. So if they found another one, I would like permission to put that in also. We don't think there's another one, but we're not sure.
Madam Chair?
Mm-hmm.
I would move the C05 amendments with the following changes on Section 1. After the first site of VORS, add 203.055, and beginning on line 2, after the word county, strike the balance of that line, strike line 3, and strike in line 4 the date January 1, 2000.
In concept.
In conceptual.
Yes, okay. All right, is there any more Senator Beyer has moved this in concept. Is there any more discussion?
No, Chair.
Yes.
Do we need to hear from the county regarding this one?
Mr. Penhall.
Madam Chair, for the record, Bill Penhollow, representing the Association of Oregon Counties.
Okay.
There's a question.
Are you okay with this?
Yes, Senator Beyer, this goes beyond what we had requested and what our agreement among the counties provided, but I see no problem if the county would have the option of notifying the department by January 1st, 2000.
Instead of asking the legislature to do it, the counties can ask themselves.
Okay.
I've been running the public here.
Okay, no problem.
No problem.
No problem. Without objection. And, we're going to do a recess until 10:30. Why? Because I don't want to adopt 47 without talking to the president.
Does it take half an hour, 45 minutes to talk to
them? It might. No, well, they'll want to start the Senate, and then we will just come back. Is that all right? We only have one amendment left.
Okay, why don't we do it now?
So, it's
47. And I do want to say, because some of the press has just arrived.
Gary is here now.
Who?
Very
well, no, I wasn't touched great. Yes, we're, well,
can we go ahead and finish?
No, we're not doing the rest of them. Okay. Okay, we're going to have a recess.
Are we in work session?
Uh-huh. Yeah, I'm opening a work session on House Bill 2082.
Madam Chair, I move the dash C-44 amendments.
Okay, is there any discussion? Well, a little discussion. I would much rather put that overflow money into what?
That's the other one.
Oh, that's the other
good county one.
Oh, this is a good county.
This is a technical one.
Okay. Well, then explain it to us, so you know them. This one.
The dash 44 amendment just adds a sentence in there for the counties when they're receiving their $750,000.
money that it will, they'll receive it all a year to be able to have that enrolled.
As long as an annual appropriation.
Okay. Bill Tanhalo, would you like to come up and explain a little bit with us, to us, why we need this?
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Bill Tanhalo with the Association of Oregon Counties. This part of the bill increases the contribution to the Special Counties Program from $750,000. As you see in the amendment before you as the existing statutory provision, to $1.5 million, an additional $750,000. And the amendment just simply states that the monies that are received into that account can be then distributed as the statute provides to the counties each year, rather than capping it at $750,000.
Questions? Thank you.
Thank you.
Does anyone else like to comment on the -44 amendments to 2082? Okay, we'll wait till the chairman comes back and we will vote on it.
Objection to the -44. Without objection,
the adoption. Okay, we have a -55 amendment, and they deal with the trip permit, and there's some conceptual amendments that I'll be referring to.
Okay, Mr. Russell, do you want to explain it to us? Why don't I have that? Oh, okay, thank you.
Madam Chair, I'm a member of the committee for the record. My name is Bob Russell. I'm director of government affairs for the Oregon Trucking Association. The -55 do a number of things. We need to amend those a little bit conceptually. What we need to do is on page 2.
May I ask a question first? Did the work group, is this all in agreement?
Yes.
Okay.
On page 2,
mm-hmm.
you need to delete paragraph 6.
Okay.
And insert, this is a conflict amendment essentially, and insert paragraph 6 from House Bill 2635 that we just passed out to you.
Okay.
With one exception. The first $8 on line 26 needs to be changed to 16.
Okay.
And basically what that does is it conforms the existing 2082 and the C-55 amendments and House Bill 2635 all together, so they've got the same language.
Okay. Any questions? Yeah. Go ahead.
And then line 16 of the amendment C-55 needs to be deleted.
Okay.
On page 2, line 16.
Hold on, we're keeping our. We're going to do this conceptually. It's good that I'm a chairman.
Yes.
It would be. If it won't be here, but it is.
What
The thing that doesn't want to do is to leave the way that money is going to come for 622. Basically, what we did is we took the language out of 2635 here and replaced this language that we made this in the same document. So that way, this one's already gone too. So what we're doing is conforming.
They said there's
After discussing the deletion of line 16 with council, I believe that language needs to remain because there is a conflict in the bill where they are, the waymasters have provided arrest authority for an infraction, and you can't arrest somebody for an infraction, and it just deletes that. It does not delete the waymaster's current arrest authority.
That was my next question.
It does not.
Okay.
So we don't need to delete it.
We do not need to delete it.
All right.
And everything else remains the same as they are in the C-56.
Would you like us to do this one, though, conceptually, in case she finds another little thing? Yes. All right.
Madam Chair?
Mm-hmm.
I would move the C-55 amendments to House Bill 2082 with the following change.
Just a minute.
Following change. On page 2 of the amendments, I would delete line 11 through 15 and replace that with section 2, subsection 6 of House Bill B. Engrossed 2635, which is stated on lines 24 through 27 of page 1 of that bill. And also change the on line 26. The $8 to $16.
Okay, is there any more discussion? Senator Beyer has made a motion that we adopt conceptually the C-55 with the amendments he explained. So is there any discussion? Without objection. Okay, now the dash 53.
47?
Well, we're into
53
also.
Okay.
The DAS 53 replaces coastal road safety net with a disaster relief fund that will be used for roads and bridges damaged by severe natural disasters. And the ODOT, Oregon Counties and Oregon Cities will establish the guidelines to determine the distribution of this money for repairs.
Do you want to explain it, cities or counties or M County or... Mm-hmm. Does this replace the $6 million for, because then now you can have matching federal?
Madam Chair, for the record, my name is Dave Barenberg from Legal Oregon Cities. What this amendment would do is replace the $3 million coastal safety net with a $3 million disaster relief fund. One issue that happens in Oregon is our absence of any kind of disaster relief fund for our off-system roads have precluded us from accessing federal disaster funds. So this $3 million not only will help to relieve the roads that are destroyed and damaged from disasters, but will help bring to the state federal FEMA dollars to add to the state dollars in addressing some of the disasters that we've had from our weather.
What's the match?
Right now, Madam Chair, it's interesting for off-system roads, local government is supposed to, needs to come up with 25%, and FEMA will come up with 75%. We've had an inability to even come up in some of the cities and counties to assess for disaster relief with that 25% to leverage that additional 75%.
Because I was thinking that if 750,000 and you match it 3-1, that that would be all right. Huh? Okay. All right. Is there any more? Did you want to say anything?
Madam Chair, I think Mr. Bamberg covered this very well.
Okay. Okay. You move these. Say, you want to go ahead? Go ahead.
Madam Chair, I would move the C-53 amendments.
Is there any more discussion? Okay. Senator Byer has moved the -C-53 amendments and without objection.
Thank you.
Now the -47.
Madam Chair.
Yeah.
I want to be sure. We don't need changes to these, right?
What?
These are okay the way they were. Okay.
Okay with some people.
After I would move the -C-47 amendments to House Bill 2082.
Is there any discussion? I would much prefer that the extra money go in to modernization, but I'm outnumbered, so. Senator Byer has moved the -47 amendments without objection. Okay.
You've got them all now, don't you, Mason?
I think so. Speak out, forever hold your peace.
Madam Chair?
Mm-hmm.
Move House Bill 2082 as amended to the floor with a due pass.
Recommendation.
Mm-hmm.
Can we just move it? Okay. All right. I'm kidding. Okay. Senator Byer has moved House Bill 2082 as amended to the floor with a due pass recommendation. Is there any discussion?
You're gone.
I'm sorry about this morning, everybody, but I had to get it figured out. So, the clerk will call the roll.
Senator Byer.
Aye.
Senator Hartman.
Aye.
Aye. It passes. Can I carry it? okay, let's do it together.
Okay,
Senator Byer and Senator Shannon will carry the bill. And close the work session on House Bill 2082. Let me see what this says.
Can we have more?
Somebody. Maybe. Yeah, that's a great idea. Before we close, I just wanted to say that I am very excited about this historic vote that replaces the inefficient wait mile that has been in place since 1947, but never mandated by law, I found out today. And the transfer to a more efficient diesel tax system. There was something else I was going to say about it, but... So thanks, everybody, for all your hard work. We are adjourned.